I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of your creation. We lift up our neighbors in this neighborhood. We pray that you would help us to be a light to our neighbors. Lord, in this place, and as we extend out into our own homes and our own neighborhoods, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would make our homes places of peace, places of feasting, places of welcome for the life of our neighbors around us. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful Mother's Day. We give you great thanks for so many beautiful and wonderful women in our parish, those who have many children, and those who are making many children and disciples in the faith. Lord, we pray that you would encourage them and lift them up this day. Lord, that this moment and this time of worship would be encouraging to them, that they would trust you a little bit more today. And we just give you great thanks for our moms and the blessing that they are in our lives. We glorify them, even as the Son glorifies the Father. We thank you for this time. Be with us now as we look to your gospel. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite you to open up your Bible to John chapter 15. Our gospel lesson, which you just heard, that will be my sermon text here this morning. The image in our gospel lesson is of Jesus, as this is how John chapter 15, verse 1 begins. He says that I am what? The true vine. I am the true vine. And remember from the last few weeks, he's talking to the 11 remaining disciples of Jesus who are there with him. He says, I'm gonna leave you. I'm going to leave you alone. Judas, their friend, has just left the company of the disciples. And so he gives them this image. I am the true vine, and you are the branches connected to me. That's what he says to them. And these things, in verse 11, at the end of our gospel lesson, he said these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And so there's a lot of things we could say about parables in general. Oftentimes with parables, sometimes we chase all the parts of the image, all the secondary parts of the image, and we stretch a parable beyond its meaning. But here at the end and at the beginning, before this, Jesus says this parable so that our joy might be full, that our joy might be complete. And so here is the main point of the parable that I want to emphasize this morning in two parts. There's joyful intimacy with union in Christ. That's the main point of this parable. There is joy. There is deep intimacy with our union in Christ, and we're going to see this in two different parts very quickly this morning. We're going to see it in union and communion. Union and communion. Union, in other words, the foundational reality of the gospel, our union with Christ, and then communion, which is our felt experience of union with Christ. So this is true. Once for all in Christ, we are united to him first, and then our felt experience, our communion with him, our participation with him. So first, union. Look with me at verse 5 of John chapter 15. Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Or another way to say that is with me, you can do anything. You have everything. He begins by, I think, referring back to the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 2 that God's son, that Israel, he planted them. He planted them in the vineyard to be a choice vine. In other words, to produce beautiful fruit. Beautiful grapes to make some wonderful wine in the land, but they had become, Jeremiah says, they become a wild vine. They become a wild vine. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. In other words, I am the choice vine. I am the faithful son. I am the one who produces true life. I am the root of Jesse. And he says, and I love these words, already, because of this, already you are clean, he says to the 11 remaining disciples. Already you are clean because of me and because of my words. So this right here, union with Christ, this is the great secret of strength in the Christian life. This is the foundation of the gospel for all of us every day. It's the first thing. It's the most important thing. It's the great secret of vitality in this life, of beauty in our lives or in this world, of fertility, anything that would bring life, of fruitfulness, of life itself. And this is it, that Christ is the source. It's simple. Christ is the source. Jesus is the life. He is the vine that is deeply rooted. He is the foundation. And apart from him, we can't do anything. We can't do anything good. But with him, we have everything. We have life. We have peace. The sap and the juice that flow from the stem, one theologian says, that flow from the stem, or else the root, are the source and maintaining power of all the branches. That's you and me. All of the leaves, all of the buds, all of the blossoms, all of the fruit, it comes from him. By myself, in other words, to say it negatively, to be far away from Christ, to be detached from the vine, to be separated from the root, is no life. It's the very absence of strength. There is no vitality there. And the way this parable ends, there's no joy. There's no joy. But in Christ, to say it as Christ says it positively, we are brought near. This is an intimate image. We are so close to him as to be a part of him, a unified whole, as close as you can be, head and body in the church, or else root and branches in the true life-giving vine. This is real. Even as Jesus says, I'm going to go away, I'm not going to leave you alone. This is real. You have this. This is real. It's not fiction. This is the reality of my union with you. We are truly and fully and completely united to Christ by faith and by our baptism. Everything in the root is for the benefit of you and for me. This is the foundation of the gospel. This is our union with Christ. So, rejoice. There's the first point. Our union, and then secondly, our communion. Well, look with me at verses 3 and 4 of John chapter 15. Already you who are clean, what does he say? Pay attention. Already you who are clean, because of the word that I have spoken to you, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So out of this foundational reality of our union with Christ, the real union with Christ, we are really in him and he in us. This is true. This is our present experience. The second thing that Jesus says in this parable is that out of this union with Christ flows forth an experiential reality of that union, of that gospel. Communion with Christ. That is the image here. There's union and there's communion. So remembering back from John chapter 14, when I go away from you, Jesus says, I'm going to send help. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send a comforter. And the question answered in this parable, right on the heels of all of these wonderful words of encouragement, is what will be your primary source of joy when you are united with me? What will be the place that brings joy? And it's right here, and he says it over and over again, if you're paying attention. It is my word, he says. This is John chapter 1 to the end of this gospel, the word that took on flesh that dwelt among us. My word will still be with you, he says. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, he says. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, which is another way of saying my words, my instructions to you, you will abide in my love. And at the end, at the very end of this image, he says in verse 11, these things I have what? I've spoken to you. I've spoken these things to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. Jesus Christ has not left us orphans. Because of his word that is here. It's really and truly here among us. He has given us his spirit, the spirit of truth. He just says just a few verses earlier, and the spirit of truth, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what? All that I, Jesus, have said to you, my words. He's not leaving them. He's not leaving them alone. So in other words, Jesus gives this image to us to say that our union with Christ is secure, even though he is absent in body with us right now. He is present with us, and here is the invitation in this word, in this communion with Christ, abide in my word. It is so simple. It is so simple and so clear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, St. Paul says. Let it dwell in you. Draw near to every word. Hold fast every word from the mouth of the Lord. Keep them, cherish them, and the love of Christ will abide in you. This is communion with God. Now, here's the reality. And I know this is the reality is because this is what I struggle with every single day. Many Christians, most Christians, and very often myself being the chief of these Christians, we complain a lot, and it's pretty common in our culture, about our felt distance from God. We have a lot of sort of maybe good theology in our head, many of us, or something like that. And we live our lives, especially online, but it seems to get into everything. We lament our lack of intimacy with Jesus. And I think Jesus is pretty clear here. I think it's because we actually don't do what we say we want to do. Or we say that we do. We don't actually read our Bibles. I think that's the real reality. I think many of us live on podcasts, but podcasts don't lead to joy. Substacks are lifeless if there is no word of God. Every word that we devote ourselves to, I think Christians are very quick, and me especially, to talk about devotion to the scriptures, and yet, we don't actually read them. And so I think the first word here is a question to us all. Are you joyless? Are you fruitless? Are you a wild vine? Is that where you are this morning? Are you singing the song of lament that all of our culture seems to be singing all the time, not outside, but inside the church? The first thing I want to say, and this is so important, is that you're here this morning. You're in the right place. The reason why we are here is to let this word, that Christ is present with us in the word and in the sacrament, in our hearing and in our feasting, that Christ is here to dwell in us richly. And because of this word, because the abundant and rich mercies of God, because of this, we have communion with God. We can really, truly experience his felt presence. So I want to invite you Christian who say you read your Bible and don't read your Bible like me, who are swimming in all other kinds of circles and are angsty all the time, abide here first. In other words, gather with the people of God. This is what saints for at least 1500 or 1600 years do. Where do you hear the word of God? Here. Do not forsake this gathering. Intimacy with Christ is here in this church insofar as the word is faithfully proclaimed and this sacrament is faithfully administered. We can have communion with Jesus. Real communion with Jesus. I think the image invites us, and I think the Jeremiah passage in the background, which I think is very clearly in view, it invites us to say that here, as we open the scriptures and we hear, we listen to them, this is like rich wine. It's like the fruit of the vine, and here is the fruit of the vine as well. We get to feast on Jesus. But let me say this. Don't draw near today and then spend the rest of your week cut off from the vine. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Gardening your soul is a seasonal work. It's a slow work. There are winter seasons, there are spring seasons, there are fall seasons. So I invite you to gather around word and sacrament, but every day, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in the scriptures, not just on Sunday, and not just at the end of our lives. He is the way into peace every day. He is our Sabbath rest every day, not just today. This is the invitation Jesus, I think, is saying very clearly to his disciples. Feast on my word. There I am present with you. Block out time on your calendar. Fight for significant time to slow down and read the words of Christ. Already, he says, you are clean because of my word. Already. This is not to make us clean, but you are already united to me. Abide there and listen to every word that comes out of my scriptures. Every day, reject the lie that you can live disconnected from God's word, disembodied, distant, online, lifeless, away from the vine of life of Jesus. And so I implore you, and I think Jesus is very clear here, and he says it in a lot of different ways with strong language, stop joylessly scrolling through your life. And slow down and live in the Sabbath rest of Jesus and abide in his word. But here's the final question I want to answer that I think is all over this text as well. Reflecting on this reality of our union in Christ, and this is real, and our felt experience of communion, or else our lack of felt of experience of nearness to Jesus, what if you don't neglect gathering on the Lord's Day? What if you are that mythical Christian that comes to church every week, okay? What if you are that person? You hear and you feast every Lord's Day. What if, with what little strength you have left, you try and you're actually successful in reading your Bible, maybe every day, maybe a lot during the week, and then for weeks or maybe even months or years, entire seasons of your life, you don't feel intimacy with Christ. You don't feel communion with him. What if your experience of joy because of your union with Christ feels like some past life experience? It's very distant from you. My first invitation is still, actually do what you say you want to do and go to the scriptures, go there. But maybe you're in a cold and fruitless season today. And here's the question of our felt distance from the Lord. Is your pain today, is your lack of fruit today? It can be one of two things in this parable. It can be evidence that the Father, the vine dresser, has cut you off and thrown you into the fire, the felt experience of the absence of God, or, which I think is way closer to the truth because you're here, Because today is the day of renewal. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of coming back to Him. Is it fire? No, actually, I think that felt experience is God teaching us to depend upon Him. Verse 2, every branch, Jesus says, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The felt absence of God, or else the hiddenness of God. God, where are you? Why don't you just show up all the time in my life? That question, that real experience for the faithful is an invitation to draw near to the Lord. He is disciplining. He is pruning us. This is God's plan. Don't be discouraged. There's no magic Bible study plan that guarantees everlasting intimacy. That guarantees that every time you stay in the daily office and you open the scriptures and you cut out all the business from your life and you come to the Word and still it feels like dryness, there's no guarantee of intimacy, but still in that place, there is life. And I know it. I've experienced it, and still I don't come back to that place. The invitation is to draw near, to abide in the Word. Perfect attendance on the Lord's Day doesn't guarantee a pain-free life, but here we count our pain as pruning. Not as God's judgment, but God's discipline. We rejoice in our suffering. And so here's the invitation. If you're here today, abide in the vine. You are abiding in the vine this morning. By faith, in the Word and in the sacrament, you are presently experiencing the grace of Jesus, even if it's not felt this morning. If you're in pain, if you're exhausted, if you're pursuing all kinds of other places of rest, if you're filled with sorrow, just like our Lord, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, receive this moment as the Father's merciful pruning this morning. Receive it as His loving care for you, His child. Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him, even in these words. Abide in His love. Abide even in your pain this morning by faith. Even if your pain is for a lifetime, it is only for a moment. Even if every day is felt distance, draw near to the Lord by faith, and Christ will be present with you. This word Christ has spoken to you. He's been speaking it to me, and I hope that you hear it this morning. This joy, this is your joy, and I exhort you that it may be in you and that your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.